I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all
Haraom, everybody, and welcome to ET Yoga. I think we've got a great show in line for you tonight. I'm just thrilled to have as our guest this evening, Patricia Corey, author of the Syrian Trilogies. And without further ado, Patricia, are you out there?
I'm here. It's morning, and I bid you good morning.
I know. You know, I just love BBS Radio, and I'm glad I didn't have my show at 10 or 11 at night on the West Coast, because I know it's probably 5 in the morning there. Is that right?
That's right. But,
okay.
It's wonderful about BBS Radio is that the whole world can tune in and connect.
That's super. And, I'm going to get right into some hardcore questions here, but first off, I want to tell all of our listeners that if they have some questions they'd like to phone in and ask, they can phone in USA and Canada at 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. And worldwide, 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. Now, the first question I want to talk to you about, Patricia, is with respect to some information in your book, The Syrian Seal. And I would ask you to please share with us some of your knowledge about the starseed gem moldavite and its effect on crystals.
Well, you're talking about one of my favorite subjects, because I've been a crystal healer for over 30 years, and I discovered moldavite, just really early on, so here I go. Okay, moldavite is a tektite. It has fallen to the earth, not indigenous to the earth, in a region called originally Moldavia, which we know as pretty much Czechoslovakia. It is a beautiful, greenish, glassy type of, it's a tektite, so it's like melted glass, let's say, or exploded glass. Its color is sort of bottle green, and when it's polished, it becomes really a beautiful gemstone, and has been used, by the way, in crowns and objects of many, many royal families. Its properties are, in my experience, it just opens the entire chakra system instantaneously. It's a perfect connector crystal to ET. Let's just put it that way. It's not of this earth, and it's just amazing how it opens you completely, immediately to that higher connection. And used with the seal, it's a very powerful tool.
And I want to testify to that, and not knowing your background about crystals, by the way, but just reading your comment in the Syrian Seal. But I had been on the search for moldavite for about 2 years, and finally I got a hold of some. And I want to tell you that on my person, I like to wear the Syrian Seal because it's made of copper. I wear 2-star tetrahedrons made of crystal and a chunk of moldavite. And
You're about ready to take off now, huh?
Well, listen, I've been ready for takeoff for a long time. The first day I wore that, the moldavite, I didn't know if I was going to be able to wear it. I thought I might have to just use it in meditation centers. It's very powerful. And when I read about this in your book, I just knew you had some knowledge about that, and I just had to throw that question in right off the bat.
Well, I'll just give you a little giggle here. I went, as you know, I do the sacred tours. We'll talk about that later. The first time I went to Tibet, I created a headband for myself, which had a gigantic chunk of moldavite in the center and two huge Herkimer diamonds on each side. I walked around Tibet like that. So, yeah, I like strong.
I like, all right, okay, I can relate. I can relate. Now, what I'm dying to know is because, okay, I mean, let's cut to the chase here. For those who are listening and haven't read the Surian trilogies, or haven't read Cosmos of Soul, haven't read Atlantis Rising, haven't read No More Secrets, No More Lies, in my opinion, like it's called Get with the 21st Century, these are the classics. I mean, to my way of thinking, here's my classic book list. My classic book list goes back to the ancient yogis with Autobiography of a Yogi, which I think is the classic yogic text by Paramahansa Yogananda. Then we're going to go into about, I don't know, I guess it was about the 80s with the Bringers of the Dawn with Barbara Marciniak stuff. And in the, my view, in the New Age, it's called Your Stuff. And for anybody who's out there, it already has them. It's called Buy Another One, Send Some to Your Friends, because this is the kind of thing that's got to get everybody out there, wake everybody up. And newsflash for all the negative energies in the world, I think the humans have got a few cards to play along with the help we're getting from our friends and the creator himself or herself. So I'm telling everybody, get those books because they are amazing, and I'm not... people that know me know that I don't plug anything just for the sake of plugging it. These are fabulous books, a must in anybody's collection.
Charles, I really appreciate that. First of all, it's a great honor to be included. It was such excellent company. And second, I'm deeply touched when I hear that people are so behind the material. The books are called the Syrian Revelations.
I'm sorry, yes, that's true.
Syrian trilogy, yeah. And I just want to say to people, it's really, really important to get behind your authors because, contrary to public belief, we don't get rich on books. So when it's a niche market situation like the kinds of books we're talking about, we need your help so that the publishers believe in us enough to be able to keep working and keep creating books to bring out to humankind. So, yeah, please help. Please do get the books, but... Of course, if they ring for you, if they touch you, if they touch your heart, and they ring as truth to you.
Exactly. And speaking of, now, is this a rumor, or come on, you're working on a new book?
Oh, yeah, I'm working on more than one.
Okay, well, how about the one that's coming out next? Is there a title
right now
for
I'm
it
I'm working
yet?
On a book. Huh?
Is there a title for the new one? Or the
newest? The new one is called Where Pharaohs Dwell. And it is about the connection of Egypt to Sirius and the true destination of the pharaohs was the stars. And so it's about the Sirius-Egypt connection, and it goes also deals a lot with the Assyrian. There's a lot of surprises in this book.
And when will that be coming out?
Well, as the Egyptians say, Inshallah. it's in the process of being done now, and my deadline for completion is December, so it will be out sometime in 2009.
Excellent. Okay, now if you remember our last conversation, we were talking about extraterrestrials and ET Open Contact Act. And, you know, I don't know, it seemed like time just flew by in that show, and I jotted down in my notes that I just wanted to share with you that Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, and I had a conversation about you know, the ET Open Contact Act, and I know one of your questions when I was on your show, Beyond the Matrix, was, you know, gee, how do you think the current administration, for example, in the United States would react, and, you know, would they, you know, greet the extraterrestrials with open arms and be in favor of this Open Contact Act? And I just wanted to let you know that both, Daryl and I both thought that, this sort of thing was gonna be happening after 2012. So just to let you know and to let some of our listeners know that I know I had some inquiries after the show about the Open Contact Act. And, of course, we are promoting, you know, open peaceful contact with extraterrestrials. And I just wanted to let you know that we're kind of thinking this is going to not be probably during the current administration.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the current administration, which is about to end. I will refrain from comment about that, But I think that we need to pay attention to some of the news that's out. And, for example, you've heard about the Vatican, which I just sent out on my newsletter. Have you seen
yes, in fact, I want to I want you to comment about that because I love your headline, We Can Believe in ETs Now, It's Okay Because the Vatican Says So.
Yeah. It's like, phew, that's good to know.
That's a relief. That's really, I'm really glad they came out with that.
Well, I did make a little bit of a sarcastic blurb on that, but basically, just about a week ago, the Vatican comes out with a statement that I feel is one of the most important things that we've got for information, and this is that after due consideration, they have determined that it's quite all right now to believe in ET because this fits into the concept of an all-permeating God, a creator. And this is big news because this has never been part of the philosophy of the Vatican, that we can believe or even contemplate life on another planet. I mean, we're still talking, the Vatican is still contemplating whether or not animals have souls. So now suddenly we're hearing that it's okay for us to believe in ETs. And what really caught my eye was that they also said, when questioned about what would this mean about redemption, how would these individuals be redeemed? And bear in mind, I interrupt myself to say that we're talking about individuals, not here's where I'm getting blocked on my 5 a.m. wake-up call. Microbial, there's the word. Not microbial forms, but they're talking about beings, all right? And the answer to this question, how would they be redeemed, is from the Vatican, well, maybe they wouldn't need redemption. Maybe they would already be in the blessing of God. So, okay. This is really important information, in my opinion, because the humans can't seem to be in the blessing of God. We're perennial sinners, but now we're being allowed to embrace another species, another planetary species that might even already have redemption. This is big news as far as I'm concerned. And I think
especially for our listeners who aren't aware of the fact that you live in Rome, and so I guess you're right close to the Vatican.
Yeah, and I'm sure this makes me very popular for making this kind of statement, but I think it's just very exciting, actually.
Hey, it's a good
positive
statement. You're just reinforcing their newest revelations. I think that's great.
That's right. And I think it's very exciting that we're getting this signal. So I think that, my message is most definitely contact is imminent. And whether it's 2009 or 2012, it's imminent. If you look at the time that Homo sapiens has been on this planet, of course, I believe visited many times, I really do believe that part of the awakening consciousness of this moment in our incredible shifting is global contact, absolutely.
Of course. And now, as ascribed to the speakers of the Syrian High Council, can you give us some history of when this all started and describe some of the nature of the council?
You mean my personal contact with them?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like I've always been in contact with this level of intelligence because as a child I already had a lot of experience with messengers, little voices that used to come to me very playfully when I was a child. I used to play out in the garden and I used to tell my mother there were these little beings that used to talk to me they would light and they would talk to me in my fort because I used to make a fort out of the weeds. So I have that recollection, but actually the really big opening came in 1996 when I was called by a number of circumstances and a dream, which ended up calling me to go into a crop circle in England, which is really one of the most famous ones. It was called the Julia Set. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Yes, you bet I do.
Okay,
in fact, it's one of the ones I use in my e-books on my website.
Yeah, it was really, it was so exciting because there were people there. There were llamas and Native American chiefs and spiritual people from all over the planet. And me! And when I went in there, I had a really just amazing experience. I lost consciousness for what I thought was 5 minutes. Turned out to be about an hour and 50 minutes, after which, 2 weeks after that, I started to receive these messages. And I'd like to preface by saying that I really wasn't into mediumship. And I didn't embrace this experience at the beginning wholeheartedly, because all of my teaching and work is about being grounded in truth and ignoring the phenomenon of psychic experience and getting more in tune with the purpose of your mission and what you have to offer humanity. So I don't like theatrics, and here I am experiencing bringing in messages from the sixth dimension. It was a very powerful time for me.
Now, could you amplify on your DNA activation programs and tell people how they can get involved with least primary triangulation?
Oh, you really have read the book.
You betcha.
Well, there's a lot of people talking about DNA activation now, which is very exciting, and I think this is absolutely part of the process of our shifting into the new era. And there's a lot of confusion and, quite honestly, a lot of misinformation. Then again, the subject being rather esoteric and etheric on many levels, I'm not going to claim that I'm providing the right information. I'll just tell you how I am taught and how I perceive this. So, a lot of people that are talking about activation of DNA are talking about bringing in two strands at a time, activating more and more etheric DNA, which is described as coming in from another place or, I don't know, from the stars or whatever. But the truth is, of course, we have 80% of our body, of all of our DNA, is somewhere disconnected somehow or unidentified as to its purpose in our body. And this is called the famous junk DNA. And we know, of course, there can't be any junk in us, because that just doesn't make any sense at all. So my teaching is that at this time we are learning how to reactivate some of this matter by calling in the sense of creating a conscious flow and an intent, that we create a sort of magnetic field where some of this DNA matter refines its function. And this stream, we'll call the third strand, if you want, or the third light filament that is being woven into the double strand, the double helix. And this is called the first triangulation. And according to the Syrians, it doesn't come, we're not going to reactivate DNA two at a time, but rather three, 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 and finally a fourth triangulation, and at that time we will no longer be in body.
Yeah, and
Does that make sense? For
a lot of people that are listening, I mean, to me, I'm totally in sync with that particular perspective, and I personally believe that one of the things that makes humans unique is our DNA, and we have some of the most phenomenal DNA in the universe. And I'd like to mention that in your book, No More Secrets, No More Lies, actually, specifically on page 193, gives a meditation for primary triangulation.
Yes, and this meditation is used in my workshops, but I wanted it to be shared with everyone so they can start to work on this on their own. And this meditation is really, really powerful, and is also available in the CD, by the way, and this isn't a plug, but I'm just suggesting that for people that don't work well with reading a meditation and trying to do it at the same time, there's also a CD available. So the important thing is to understand and desire to accelerate this process, because nonetheless, it's happening. It's part of our being here.
And that particular CD, can that be found at www.syrianrevelations.net?
It can, and shortly it will also be available on all the booksellers like Amazon, but for the moment you can only get it through my site, so yeah.
And,
now, I've got a small problem, and that you might want to tell your listeners. In order to sell that CD by Italian law standards, and I'm going to add to that, don't ask, because my position with the tax situation here is publisher. The only way I can sell the CD, which is not considered a published item, is with a book. So in order to get the CD from my site, they've got to buy No More Secrets with it. So if they don't want to do that, or they can buy all three of the books, and the CD is a gift.
That's a bonus.
I can give it away, but I can't sell it.
Okay, now you were mentioning that, of course, you've been in a crop circle. And,
many.
Julia set. And now with respect to, do you have a tour plan for Stonehenge in July?
Yeah, this July there's just about two places left now. I've got a sacred tour. I do many, I do the workshop together with a sacred tour, which is pretty powerful stuff. And this July we start with a two-day level one activation. And then we proceed. We've got sacred sites in Glastonbury, which of course is Avalon, which we know is in the Arthur myths. Actually, I shouldn't call it myths because I do believe that those are true stories. And then we go on to the crop circles. We have, I think, 3 days of crop circle hunting, Ava Berry Circle, all of that triangulation of sacred lands in England we'll be visiting. Then we have private access at Stonehenge, where we anchor the new DNA, which is also extremely wonderful. And private access means you get to go inside the stones, because now all you can do as a tourist is walk around them. It's a fenced area, and you get a little headset, and they give you the history. But I'm able to bring people in, and we're alone. Our group is alone for an hour inside Stonehenge. So that alone is worth coming. And then we also go to Cornwall and explore the Neolithic sites and sacred sites of that area. So it's going to be a fabulous journey.
Yes. Now, in Cosmos of Soul, and I quote, "Whatever your personal response to a crop glyph, you can rest assured that entering a circle brings you into our resonant fields, altering your DNA and raising your vibration to facilitate your expanding energy fields." Would you care to comment on that?
Well, crop circles are temporary temples, and I do believe that these are created by not necessarily extraterrestrials, but extra-dimensional beings as a way of saying, hey, we're with you, and we're communicating in a language that you can understand, which is geometry. In the process of making those circles, which is so debated, I can't even go into it here. We don't have the time. How they actually are formed. Incredible shifts of energy occur in that space, and this has been recorded by scientists who find different electromagnetic frequencies, different vibratory fields. We've got the psychics who are working with dowsing rods and feeling the different waves of energy inside. It's definitely for me and for most of the people I've ever met that are in them, feel and a quite powerful shift in energy. And this can be on many levels. Some people fall asleep. I brought my mother in and she curled up in a ball and went to sleep. And this is not uncommon. And some people, you know, feel their hair just standing on their head. And there are so many levels in between, but I can assure you that every year I go and I run into people that I see every year, and I think all of us will attest to the fact that there's very different energy inside these formations. And most of us will agree that it's a very wonderful energy, and love and powerful surges in your body. It's quite a remarkable experience. Now, I don't want to set people up, though, because it's easy to create a mindset for someone to experience something that is not necessarily theirs. So I honor everyone's experience, and what I recommend is get yourself there. Experience this for yourself, because I do believe this is one of the most important things that's happening on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and very few people are paying attention.
Well, I want to share with you a little of my experience in this area. I was just dying to go to, you know, the tour there at Stonehenge. And it so turned out when I was there, I happened to be on a train going to go on the tour when there were the bombings of 2005 in London. And my tour got canceled.
Oh.
However, on the plus side, shortly thereafter that time, I came across some amazing pictures, And I knew there was something special about them. I didn't know what. And I downloaded them all in 8x10 color. And I just found them really fascinating. And I kept going over and over and over these pictures. And finally, I found out what they were. And what they were colored, beautiful artwork colored of 35 different crop circles. And these were done by a guy named Janosch. And Janosch can be found on the Internet at, under Janosch. It's J-A-N-O-S-H for our listeners, Sacred Geometry. And it was about 6 months later, I've been putting these things up on my wall because I want to make a whole wall of them. I mean, they're just amazing. And
oh, they
the vibrations.
Are, yeah.
And the vibrations off them, well, this Janosch, he activated them. And I used to, I'm a teacher, and during my lunch hour, I would go into this website and meditate on, he had about 15 of them activated, and they were like just a visual activation on the computer. And now I notice that you can't do that anymore, for free anyway. But they're now called HemiSync Active Crop Circles, and they were the Internet Product of the Year in 2007.
Oh,
and,
wow, I'm going to check them out.
And in addition to this, which is really mind-blowing because it ties into my website. My website's called Healing the Known and the Unknown, and it's at www.maxwellgreensight.com. And basically, I make the connection between self-empowerment and healing. And on this particular site of Janosch, he has a channeling from Archangel Michael regarding the activation of the template for perfect health and well-being. And this is known as the Infinity Codes of 2007. So I suggest to listeners, check out on your internet Infinity Codes of 2007 and you'll come across all this kind of information. Now, in addition to that, this is the one that I think is the most, to me, the connection with crop circles, because to my way of thinking, okay, these crop circles, they activate latent DNA codes. And one of the things I've been doing for the last 3 months is doing a technique taught by Bashar. And basically, for lack of, you know, the ability to visualize this, it looks like a jagged spiral. And it is a meditation that Bashar says he had to have special permission in order to make this available to people on the planet at this time. And if you do the technique for between 30 and 90 days, it basically totally opens you up. And I've been working on this for about the last 90 days. And the material can be found at www.bashar.org. And one of the things that is really amazing is this week at Barbary Castle in Wiltshire.
That's right, the crop circle has come down.
The newest crop circle is almost identical to the meditation I've been doing for the last 3 months.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about because I'm up to date on the circles, and you really would probably do well to give people the name of that website where they can see the crop circles, which is cropcircleconnector.com. Might be .co.uk, so I'm not sure at the moment, but I think it's .com. And
yeah, and there's also a preliminary diagram by Andreas Muller at www.cropcirclescience.org.
Okay. But yes,
so
I know what you're talking about. In fact, it's there's a lot of discussion about this particular formation. Very exciting one. It's also got, if you're meditating on it and it's appearing, that's very exciting. I know the feeling. And, of course, we have had a lot of people test and do this. People have reported, groups have reported that they've come together and meditated for 24 hours on an image, and the next day they've seen the crop in the field, which is validation of one of two things. Either, well, maybe even one of a million things. most likely, either they are making that kind of contact with the earth and other sources of intelligence that are forming this formation from that flow of consciousness, or, and I just being, you know, the devil's advocate, if you will, some of these people are also connected with the human crop circle makers. And I'd like to make some statement about that, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever we debate about the crop circles and their so-called man-made, people call them fakes. The Syrians say, you guys, but come on, get with the program, in much more elegant language than that. if you've got groups of humans that are going out into the field and putting all this love and intelligence into creating a circle or a form, then what you've got is we're getting back an answer. Don't poo-poo these people. Even if they're coming from a place of wanting, of skepticism, where they're trying to show the world they can be done, they're answering us in our language. It works. And I think that's amazing, and it kind of reminds us not to get into expectation and just simply celebrate the wonder of what's happening. Whether it's coming in or going out, it's still the communication chakra.
Well, and the bottom line is about 3 weeks ago on my show, actually, I had a quantum physics our guy that was involved with, basically, you know, came right out and said, the legitimate crop circles cannot be duplicated by current science.
Yeah, when you get into, I have been in both. I've been in let's say, man-made ones and the unknown factor, and there's no comparison. I do believe that even in a man-made crop circle, you still feel incredible energy because all of the intelligence and the intellect that goes into creating that is there, and you feel that. But when you go into a crop circle that I feel has been created by beings from other dimensions or however you want to define that, you sometimes you can barely hold on. I mean, these are just amazing vortices.
Well, this one in particular now in Barbary, not only was I lucky enough to make the connection between the actual circle and have been working on it for the last 3 months, but I also understand many of the meanings. It's basically set up to provide different alternate timelines. It takes you down to your very core self. You start to make amazing discoveries about energy at your core level. You start to see where there was an initial separation between our connection with our own divinity, where we lost connection, where the energy of frustration developed into the energy of doubt, which developed into the energy of fear, which developed into the fear of death, and which is the core of fear. So it basically takes people down to their core. And if you work through the whole process, it's just a phenomenal unfolding process. And I think that I guess at some point I can't wait to have somebody, because they typically have descriptions of what they think the energy represents. And I guess I'm going to have to make some contributions in this area because, like I said, I've been spending the last 90 days with no other techniques other than focusing on that particular crop circle.
That's very exciting. And I do want to say also that even in my work, this is the same. This is what we're being shown now. We've got to get down to the primordial essence, and that is dealing with the fear. And
yeah,
this is
exactly
what my work is about, and we're being shown. It's time now for you to understand this fear predominantly emerges from the fact that we believe we're orphans in this universe. We fear for our mortality because we do not know other. And so in the work that we're being shown, and I think most spiritual teachers now are working on helping people get back to that, down to the fear. It's like you can't get away with this. You don't get to float out into the twilight of higher awareness until you get rid of that fear.
Exactly, because as the saying goes, where your fear begins, your power ends.
Yeah, and I mean, fear
so
is
if
really,
you're
going to
become self-empowered,
opinion,
yeah, if you're going to become self-empowered, you have to overcome and you have to deal with fear. And what I've made the connection that, as far as I know, I mean, I'm sure other people have made the connection, I just haven't seen it anywhere else. But in my second program that I did on ET Yoga, which, by the way, is available on my website, I basically make that connection between self-empowerment and healing, because the two cross connect. At the point at which you deal with the illusionary factors of fear and you become into your own self-empowerment, it cross connects with the frequency of healing. And I know in one of your books you talked about there's a point at which I believe it's when six strands of DNA are connected that the vibration of fear and disease can no longer exist.
Yeah, well, let's remember the fear is sort of the pole to love.
Yeah.
If you really look at it, I mean, if you look in Webster's Dictionary, it may not be defined as the opposite pole, but I do believe it is. And without that, releasing all of that fear, you really never really get into unconditional love, and when you do, when you even approach the ability to love unconditionally, life becomes such a wonder. And it's just time to start enjoying this passage, because we came in to be here for this moment. This moment, in my opinion, of rediscovering our galactic family, and a huge change in human consciousness. And I'm doing all I can in my work to help people take a giant leap toward that moment. And it starts with, once and for all, getting in touch with that fear. And by the way, getting out of your own self-awareness of just your own experience and shifting to, how can I serve the other?
Yeah, great. And one of the tips from Bashar is that, you know, you can make fear your friend. I mean, it's sort of a tap you on the shoulder and tells you there's some work to be done here, like a key on a piano that's kind of out of tune. So you can kind of really, if you really get excited about self improvement or increasing your awareness, you can kind of go, oh, joy, another fear. Here's something else to learn about.
Yeah, the problem is that a lot of us idolize our fear. We worship our fear. We immortalize our fear to the point that we almost paralyze ourselves with it.
Well, that's the word. Yeah, that's what it does.
You know? So, I
now,
mean,
in Atlantis Rising,
In
Atlantis Rising, the struggle of the darkness and the light, and in No More Secrets, you give a great deal of information about the dark. And I wanted to ask you, this is a kind of a complicated question, so bear with me on this one. I wanted to ask you if your take on all this is similar to my conclusions, based on my yogic teachings and those of Bashar, and that I think the more you advance spiritually and become closer to self-realization, the more you become aware of the dark. It's not to scare people, but actually assist in the process of inclusion, not the process of exclusion. And further, the idea is not to go against the dark, is what you resist persists. And by this, I mean that when you invalidate something, the energy you use to invalidate it actually helps perpetuate its existence. The idea is to create a new positive idea. And maybe give me your take on that opinion.
Yeah, you said it. That's a complicated question. But I'll try to make an uncomplicated answer and simplify it as much as I can. In my years of being a healer, I've dealt with so much darkness in people, and including some pretty intense astral entities, because I do believe that people pick up a lot of essences and thought beings, and let's just, for those who are familiar with the term astral entities, let's keep it with that. So I think that we do have surrounding us many levels of consciousness, and some of these levels are not of the highest intention, and sometimes they attach to us. And what I always saw was that no matter how dark these beings were, there was always a spark of light there that I could work with to help heal the individual that had come and to help heal whatever this entity or essence was that had found a fountain of energy in this human being. And about the darkness, let's say that to deny that there is a darkness, a force, would be to limit your own power, because we are empowered with knowledge, not with ignorance. So ignoring is the root of ignorance, right? So let me see all of this stuff. Let me know what I'm dealing with, what I've got there, not necessarily to confront, but what the other side or the words are for limiting the dark side. It's so Hollywood. But anyway, I do feel that there are very, very many layers of light to dark, dark to darker, etc. And I want to see it, and I want to know it, and I want to be fearless of it. Because my whole program here is fearlessness. Of course, we're all working on some level about different levels of fear, and surely people that put themselves out there like we are know that, you know, it's not an easy task we've been given to open people to this information. But yes, let me see this stuff. I do not fear it. I want to understand it, and I want to shine light into it. And that's the theory behind the books, and why the books do talk about this aspect is we need people to shine light into the dark corners. And to do that, we need to understand them and forgive them.
Good point. Now, with regards to food and water, what have you learned that can be recommended to the listeners?
Well, that's an interesting question. My own show was on just on yesterday on Beyond the Matrix on BBS Radio, and I had a wonderful guest who was an animal rights activist. We talked quite a lot about food, and of course, with an aspect of animal food. As far as water goes, this is kind of a very long subject. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to approach it in this short time we've got on your show, but I'll try to get to it. Food. It's time to let go of meat for sure. If you consider that you're aspiring to light body consciousness, it becomes very difficult to embrace the idea of eating dead animal flesh. First of all, it plugs up your digestive system and takes a long, long time to get out. And second, you're bringing in the rage and the suffering, the torment, and the fear of the animal. So we go blithely along our path, ingesting all of this animal stuff, and very little consciousness goes into the question of, you know, what am I bringing into my body? Adrenaline and hormones, of course, but mostly fear, terror of what these animals go through when they're killed. So I think what's very important now is to start letting go of meat. It's good for the planet, it's good for ecology, and it's wonderful for your development as a spiritual being. Again, I try not to preach. I personally have been a vegetarian for over 23 years, and I think it's very, very important. But we all do what we're ready for. You want me to go down to water, or should we take a breath?
I'll interject, and then we'll go on to the water, because I want to give a quote from one of your books. With 6 strands of DNA fully integrated, you will be releasing your cells from some of the most difficult aspects of your current walk through the illusion. You will alter your body's patterns of health and well-being, having brought enormous photonic energies into the molecular matrix. Virus, invasive bacteria, and thought forms born of disharmony within you cannot withstand such brilliance, and they will simply have to detach and let go, for they cannot exist at such frequencies. At this point, dear ones, no dead animal foods will pass through you, for you will be unable to ingest death and suffering, the darkness. You will desire and be capable of digesting only the seed, leaf, and fruit for your nourishment, and these you will find are still abundantly available to you as organic produce. And now, if you continue with your aspects on water.
Okay, but I would like to add something to that. Mm-hmm. It's also wonderful to teach children about plants. And what better way than to create an organic garden in your house? I mean, surely, even people that are city dwellers, so many people have balconies. Even if you're just, you know, doing what you can, some herbs or some small vegetables that can be grown there. I grow my own vegetables, not 100% free of the food chain line, but what joy when these untouched fruits and start to come to me. I've got fruit trees here. They've never been sprayed. I have organic vegetables. And the food, by the way, the taste is incredible. And we all know that when you talk to a child or another human being and you send out love, they radiate with love. So I do talk to my plants. I'm sure glad I'm telling you all this on your show, because I know it's kind of zany, but your listeners are no doubt tuned into this. But, yeah, talk to your plants, send in the love and the intention that they give you their gifts, and that this is a harmonious exchange, and it's another experience completely. And you can do this with water. The water that we drink is very often quite a mess. We're hearing all kinds of reports that now we've got drugs in the water, and we've got fluoride, which absolutely has to go. And basically, despite all the filters we can buy, carbon filters in this. Mineral water, too, is often worse, as bad or worse than the tap water, even though some people won't agree with me. What I do is the best I can, and that is to alter the consciousness of whatever I eat or drink by speaking to it, blessing it, asking it to resonate at its highest frequency. And I do put the Syrian seal under every carafe of water that I drink and ask the water to memorize that symbol and that vibration that comes forward from that symbol.
Excellent. In fact, Emoto on his Power of Water concretely concurs with your comments there, and I'll share with you one of the techniques I use based on his discoveries. Mozart music and Beethoven have been found to have very beneficial effects on DNA, and of course, water is a perfect reflector of consciousness. And I also use the crop circle diagrams and yogic yantras around 18-liter containers of water that I drink. And I find that that effect is quite a it's a different take, but it's one that I like to pass on to friends because it's his experiments have also found that even words express vibration. And they're doing now extensive research with identifying what areas of the body are diseased and trying to use the water as a healing tool through just the vibration of words, not to mention pictures and sound.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't really remember the power, the vibrational codes in words. All you have to do is take a little puppy and say you're a good girl or you're a bad dog and see the difference of the reaction. And all life resonates to these intentions and communication. And water, of course, is live substance. Our body is made of 80% water, and the water in our body is a communication network for the intelligent codes of the DNA. So we want the water in our bodies to be as pure as possible. So we need to consider that. How can I raise the vibration of the water that's going into my body with all this pollution that there is? There must be something I can do. And you can do all the physical level work. Another thing to do is get the water out of plastic bottles. Do not buy mineral water in plastic bottles. The plastic leaches into the water. So take some steps of consciously improving the water you drink. And above all, bless it.
Yeah, bingo.
Like
and,
you
and,
do.
And,
I mean,
and again, a quote from one of your books. Ideally, if your heightened awareness of the significance of water draws you to purchase excellent purified water from which many chemical additives and dangerous trace metals have been removed, and then address the consciousness and the spirit of the element, you will have facilitated the heightened ability of your existing DNA to transmit operating instructions to the body and prepared the way for the integration of the third strand to be woven into the matrix.
Yes, indeed.
I wanted to ask you, as curiosity, have you ever had a close encounter with a UFO?
Yes, I have. Well, here's the story. Recently, actually, about 5 or 6 years ago, when I work with the Syrian High Council, sometimes this energy is so powerful that I've had some electrical problems in the house. And that's what you call kind understatement. Because what actually has happened as I've blown out my computer, the printer, the telephone, all at once, more than one time in the years that I channeled this material. But recently, let's say 5 years ago, I was working at the computer and the energy just, the computer crashed. And having had this experience before, I ripped the cord out of the wall and because I was hoping I could save something here. And the lights shot back up. It wasn't just the computer, by the way. It was the lights, okay? So the computer crashed. It was like, crash. The lights went out, and then, shoop, this huge surge. And the light bulbs were brighter than they actually normally were. So I grabbed my little dog, and I ran out of the house. And I have quite a big yard, so I went out to the fence so I could be as far away from the house as possible. And that's a pretty good distance, and looked back at the house, and it was going up and down incredibly. I've never seen anything happen like this. I mean, at the point where the light surges like that, it blows out. It would just surge. The whole house was like a Steven Spielberg's movie. This light, you know, surging bright, 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 and then crash, and then whoop, back up, crash. And I stood there looking at it going, okay, my house is going to blow up. And my neighbor said, Patricia, what's going on? And I live in the country, and these are pretty some simple folks here. So talking about ETs is kind of a no-no. And I looked at her, and I said, what do you mean? I said, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. It looks like there's some kind of a energy surge. Even in Italian, these are words that are difficult to find. And she said, look up, because my attention was focused on the house. I was seriously concerned it was going to blow up. So I looked up, and over my head was a very low cloud, very unnatural cloud, by the way, very low, and so many colored lights. These lights were blinking and flashing and, I mean, every color possible. And my fiancé had said to me, don't ever tell people about your beliefs in extraterrestrial stuff in this neighborhood because they might get a vigilante group and run you out of town. So when this woman said, look up, I was cautious to say that, wow, this looks like a fleet here. And she said, do you think that this is a UFO? And I wanted to say, I think this is a bunch of them, sweetheart. But what was interesting was my dog, I've got a Shih Tzu, they've got long hair. The hair was absolutely electrified. It was sticking straight out. So was mine. And these lights were, it was just right out of a Close Encounters type of movie. There was no question there was some kind of craft overhead. And in that moment, I thought, okay, this is where the little ladder comes out, and I have to choose, am I going to stay on Earth or go? But it didn't come out. But it was interesting to have that moment of really asking myself, am I going to go?
That's interesting, yeah.
I'll share with you
mine. It was probably early 1970s, and I'm looking for an address on an apartment. That's like a three-story building, and I'm looking right at the top floor, and right above the apartment building is crystal clear on an unidentified flying object. I mean, I could take a baseball and throw and hit it and count all the lights on it and the whole nine yards, and had about a two-minute view of this thing, and then it just kind of darted off, and there were about three other people with me, and of course, in the early 70s, I don't know, this was in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, we go in, we find the address, and we walk in, and none of us said anything about it, and we all sat down, and actually, we started to play a game of cards, and they had a radio on, and the radio announcer comes on and says, geez, you know, our switchboard's lighting up with about 1,500 calls. I guess there's something happening out there in Burnaby, British Columbia, because everybody's talking about this UFO sighting. So I thought that was kind of cool. But I'd never seen another craft like this. I mean, my next probably feeling about UFOs was the book called UFO from the Pleiades with Albert Meyer, which I intuitively felt was a true story. And it wasn't until last year I was on Rents.com, and somebody took a picture inadvertently. They were actually trying to take a picture. They were in London and took a picture of the one of the circular structures there, and a UFO came by. They happened to find it on their film later. They didn't even know they were taking a picture of it, but it turned out it's the only other one I've ever seen exactly like the one I saw.
Wow.
That's my
lots of things are starting to appear in our photos now. I always recommend to people to really explore their photos carefully when they get home from wherever they are, because we're seeing so much is coming through. I think this has to do with the shift in the energy fields of our Earth and our own consciousness. But, you know, we're seeing all kinds of ghosts now and spirit beings and orbs and craft. It's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. Now, do you have any thoughts about the upcoming challenges between now and 2000?
I think that a lot of what's happening now is architected. I don't really believe the food crisis is as bad as it is. First of all, the food crisis emergency is due to the inability to the problems with affording the gas to get the food where it's going. I think that the gas shortage is not real either. It's a hype. That would explain why all the oil companies have multi-billion dollar profits every year, and that someone has to start questioning that. And I'm glad to see that there's at least an attempt to make an inquiry about this at the Congress level. But yeah, I think we're really going into now the real peak of the drama before we have enlightenment. And I think times are hard, and this is deliberate. I also think there are too many people on the planet, by the way. I mean, we are just simply too many people trying to utilize too few resources. But I do think we're going through some last phases, some difficult phases of moving from the darkness to the light. But light is so close and so abundant. We're just transiting.
And how about a comment on your headline, Mars and Now There Are Three?
Yeah, it's funny. People sometimes don't stop to think that, hey, guys, we've been exploring Mars now for years. We get an occasional picture, but we're funding this massive project, and we now have three craft on Mars. And, again, we get enough information to know why this is included in the budget. We are now being told that this new craft has landed in the northern pole of Mars and is exploring for ice. So when do we get to hear that they've got water and life on Mars? It's time. I also think this is very interesting that this happened within 2 days of the Vatican's announcement. I really believe they're really getting ready to announce now. And that people should write to their congressmen and ask, why are we not getting more of these pictures from Mars? Why weren't we shown the pictures of this craft landing in Mars? And then they said that they've only got black and white camera. Excuse me?
Maybe it was in the 40s.
We have the craft to land on another planet.
How about the pictures from the 40s?
Right? But we can't
seem to get
it. How
about the pictures from the 40s before we had color? Yeah.
We can't seem to get a colored camera, but we've got a, multi-billion-dollar craft that can land precisely where they want it to on another planet. Does this not ring true to anyone else?
Yeah.
I think it's time to start asking some questions, and of course, ask them gently so that you're allowed to proceed. But ask we must, and we deserve.
And how about
the
answer. Your thoughts on keeping your eye on Big Pharma?
Boy, you're asking some pretty pungent questions here.
Well, I tell you, that's why I have you on the show.
Well, I think it's no secret that we are being marketed into, first of all, mental illness. They've created illnesses we never heard of. I believe that ADHD, attention deficiency syndrome, is an invented illness, and we've got some wonderful authors who concur with that. But when you look at a population where 70% of the people are on medication for emotional disturbance, something's wrong. Why are we taking medication for emotional imbalance? Is it because we're an emotionally distraught civilization, or is it because we're being marketed to believe that we cannot deal with emotional imbalance on our own? And this is a very grave situation on this planet. People need to stop taking all these meds.
Well, I think that medications clearly lower the frequency of the immune system.
Well, sure, not only that, but you're telling your body that you can't fix it, you can't deal with it, so you can't. So what you do is suppress the problem, and if you suppress it at 11, you're still going to deal with it when you're 50. It doesn't go away. It just gets a salve put over it. But eventually, you do have to cope with reality. So let's help the children learn how to cope rather than to give them this horrific Band-Aid which says, you can't cope, so let's put you on meds for 20 years and hope when you're older you'll be able to cope, which is the most ridiculous concept, isn't it?
I think so.
And also, Big Pharma is putting, they're doing a lot now with GM foods and chemicals into the foods so that you can get your pharmaceuticals by eating carrots. So it's very important to know what's going on with GM foods and demanding that this be put on labels. I do not want chemicals in my, more chemicals specifically designed as pharmaceutical foods to be put into my food. So I think that it's very important to avoid as much as you can all of this chemical abuse, because that's what we do. I mean, I'm sure you'll agree that a lot of people, you can't even say, I thought, wow, I'm just getting a headache. Bam! I've got da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which will work best for you? And my answer is always, let me work through this headache without taking anything into my body. And teaching people that aspirin burns a hole in your stomach and ibuprofen makes your liver bleed helps people understand that it's not a good thing to take these. You know why, of course, the headache goes away when you take aspirin?
Why?
Charles?
Why is that?
Because your body starts to bleed in the stomach, and the body's attention goes to the bigger problem.
I was going to make a joke about that, but I guess it's true. What I try to tell everybody is, you know, anybody that really cares about your health should also tell you to do a thorough detox every so often, because everybody's got the toxins, but how many people are really doing the detoxing? And the research from Dr. Schultz at the pharmaceutical, actually it's called California Pharmaceutical Pharmacy, and Bashar also says that about 80-85% of all physical symptoms disappear with a thorough detox and replenishing the system with proper nutrients.
And getting out into the fresh air and walking through a garden and celebrating life.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt at all.
We're so focused on the pain and the suffering that we create it. So it's time to shift out of this this mentality. And when was the last time your average listener was able to free him or herself from the drudge of work and the pressure that's on us and just go out for 2 days into a forest and breathe?
Well, actually, I think the suggestion is for spend an hour in nature for every hour you spend with the modern technologies.
Yeah, that'll do it. You won't be having
any
headaches.
That'd be ideal.
Yeah.
That might take care of
it. I'm very fortunate because I surround myself with nature. But it's actually fortunate to a point, and then it's life choice for another. But, you know, right now it's 6 o'clock here in Rome. My backyard is a forest. Birds are singing. I'm breathing oxygen. And this is not fortune. I sacrificed a lot to make this choice to live in the country. But I don't get headaches.
Yeah, oxygen, very important. I know that it seems like we just started, but an hour has gone by. Now, how about something I didn't ask you about and maybe to leave our audience with? Any thoughts on your mind that you want to share with us before we say goodnight or good morning?
What I would like to say is this. Get yourself to the sacred site of this planet. There's so much to explore and enjoy, and you bring your energy into these places, and you retrieve and receive incredible energies from sites of worship. Many of them are being closed down. It's time to get yourself in movement, celebrate your life, get out of your fear, and get out of your own way, and recognize that it's a miracle. Whether you've got 2 strands or 100 strands of DNA, life is a miracle, and it's time to celebrate it. So my last message is this, and also remember, think about the other. Let's get out of our own way and worrying about our own development and start asking ourselves, what can I do to make this planet a better place, and how can I serve the other? This is the true path of the spirit warrior.
Awesome. Always a pleasure talking to you, Pat, and I hope we're going to do this again and again.
Sure, Charles.
And I'd just like to say in closing, typically with those listeners that are out there, you can see Patricia Corey's website and also check out those books, Cosmos of Soul and Atlantis Rising and No More Secrets, No More Lies and the Starseed Dialogues. I mean, amazing set of books. And I'd also like to mention that for those who are interested in self-empowerment, that can be accessed. There's some free downloads there on people who are in abusive relationships, as well as free downloads concerning self-empowerment. And also actually, Patricia and I on Patricia Corey's show. It's a free download on my website, and that's at www.maxwellgreensight.com. And as usual, I'd like to say to everybody, thanks for tuning in, and my sincere wish for full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.